Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of James this evening, starting in James chapter number 1, the book of James. And chapter 1, we will be continuing in James 3, but it's been a while since we've been there, so we'd like to begin this evening by just kind of backing up a little bit. We'll get our bearings and move into our passage and our thought. James chapter 1, verse number 5. James chapter 1, verse number 5, the Bible says, "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him." Amen. What a promise from God. If any of you lack wisdom, are there any of you like that here this evening? And certainly all of us are, and God has promised to give us the wisdom that we lack and that we need. I found this note while I was studying this afternoon. The simple, in the book of Proverbs, the simple cries for wisdom in Proverbs chapter 2, verses 3 through 6. I'm sorry, 1 through 3. But wisdom cries to the simple in Proverbs 1 and in Proverbs 8. And in Proverbs 9, the simple cries for wisdom once. Wisdom cries out to the simple three times. An application is that whatever our desire might be for wisdom, it does not equal or match God's desire to give it to us. As much wisdom as you seek for, God wants to give you that and more. As much wisdom as you ask for, God is able and willing to give you that and more. He giveth to all men liberally. Praise the Lord. If we ask Him for it, He'll give it to us. Now here's the thing though. He has given it to us. He's given us the light and the guidance and the direction and the truth and the knowledge that we need to make the right choices and decisions. It's simply up to us to read it and believe it and obey it and avail ourselves of it. So if you lack wisdom, ask God. He'll give you wisdom. And He's given us lots of wisdom right here. Such as verse number 19 of James chapter 1. Here's some wisdom from God for us this evening. "Wherefore, my beloved brethren," remember this, "let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath." How are we doing with that this evening? We could probably just go back and preach that message again every month or so. But God, give me wisdom. Okay, be quiet. God, help me know what to do. Great. Listen to the people around you who know more than you do. Swift to hear, slow to speak. God, I want to do what's right. Well, then stop flying off the handle. Get control of your emotions. Calm yourself down. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. That sounds like wisdom. Chapter 1, verse 26. "If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain." Here's some wisdom from God. Doesn't matter what you pretend to be. Doesn't matter what you get other people to think that you are. It doesn't matter what you seem to be. God knows what you are. And He said, if you want to not just seem religious, if you actually want to be religious, if you want to have a religion that is profitable and that is helpful, learn to control your mouth. Stop saying things that are wrong. Stop saying things that are hurtful. Bridle your tongue. God, give me wisdom. He did. But we've got to listen. We got to follow it. Chapter number 3. Verse number 1. "My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and able also to bridle the whole body. Now, we've read this verse many times. We've commented on it many times. It's worth saying one more time. When someone offends you, you need to remember that you also offend others. And that'll just help you kind of back away from the ledge and get slow to wrath, like chapter 1 said. So all of us get offended, but all of us also offend. And James chapter 3 really encourages us to remember that, but also doesn't give us an excuse. Nothing in the Bible justifies our lack of control, our lack of restraint. The Bible says you need to put a bridle on that thing. You need to govern it. You need to control it. You need to hold it back. Don't just speak your mind. It's okay to be honest. It's okay to be forthright. It's okay to not be fake and not pretend. Doesn't mean you have to say everything you think. It's often not helpful. It's often better to bridle, to hold back. But it's difficult, isn't it? In fact, James 3 said, listen, if you can master this, you probably can get a handle on everything else. James chapter 3, verse 2, if any man offend not in word, the same as a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. The tongue is the most difficult member to bridle, the passage indicates. Verse number 3, and listen, that's what Christianity, so much of Christianity is self-denial. Jesus said, if any man follow me, let him take up his cross and deny himself and follow me. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, Colossians 3 said. One of those members is right inside your mouth. You got to keep it in check. Because, the passage goes on to describe, it is one of the most dangerous members. It is one of the most damaging members. It is one of the most hurtful members. It's a little member, but it can do great damage. Verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. That little campfire can become a roaring wildfire. That little cigarette that somebody threw out in the woods, it can spark and it can ignite and it can grow and it can wreak havoc and destruction. And it's the same way in our homes. It's the same way in our church. It's the same way in our relationship. A little snide comment here. A little backstabbing there. A little rude remark, a little, just seems like a little slander. Listen, these little things can be a big deal. Verse number six, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. There are so many ways to sin with your tongue. Flattery, lying, deceit, guile, slander, cursing, blasphemy. The list just goes on and on. It could be quite a series of Bible studies. I don't think we're going to go that direction, but a world of iniquity. There are lots of possibilities. The options are endless for how we can transgress the Word of God with what we say and how we say it. Tongues of fire, a world of iniquity, so is the tongue among our members that defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things in the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. You know, the Holy Spirit just said, you don't stand a chance. This is beyond you. you can't do this. But that's not an excuse. That's not a justification. Thankfully, it's not up to us. If you're saved, you are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of God. So it is up to you to yield your members to the Holy Spirit. But if you're saved and have the Holy Spirit, you have what you need to be able to control your tongue. Tame the tongue. Bridle the tongue. Keep that fire from spreading and harming and hurting. Right? Can no man tame. But I've got the power of God. So it is a formidable fight. It is a difficult struggle, but we have everything we need to be victorious. We have no excuse for our failure in this area. Verse number 9. Therewith, with the tongue, therewith bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Now that doesn't make sense, does it? Oh God, you're so great. Oh God, you're so amazing. Oh God, you're so wonderful. We come to church and we sing hymns of praise and honor to God for His greatness and His power and His might, and He's just indescribable. But listen, we bless God and then we curse men who are made in the similitude of God. God finds that offensive. God finds that insulting. Listen, when we insult God's creation, we are insulting the Creator. Now this is difficult because some of us, sarcasm is our love language. And there's a level of that that is acceptable, and it's in good fun, and you can enjoy razzing one another, if that's the right word, and just kind of like trading shots in a playful manner. But listen, when it crosses this line to where you are making fun of or you are insulting somebody for how God made them, are you saying that God made a mistake? Romans chapter 9, shall the thing formed say to him that formeth, that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? We can get all on the case of these poor, deluded, transgender people who need serious mental and spiritual help. And what is the problem? They have rejected creation. They have rejected what God made them to be. They have decided they want to be something other than what God made them. Now listen. Are we not guilty of the same thing to a much lesser extent, but the same principle? If how God made someone becomes the source of ridicule and derision, you're going to bless God and then curse men? God made that individual. God made that individual the way He made them. Now, God didn't make any of them gay. Unless we're using the proper definition. God made them male and female. Okay, we're not talking about that. You understand what we're talking about. Therewith bless we God, and therewith curse we men, who are made after the similitude of God. Another principle in this verse is found in other scriptures as well. You can't be right with God and wrong with the people that He made and He loves. Jesus said, if you're going to go to the altar and offer a gift to the Lord, and remember you got a problem with your brother, leave your gift at the altar and go get things right. God said, your worship doesn't mean to me what you think it means to me if you're not right with your brothers and sisters. He said in another place, if you say you love God and you can't see Him, how can we trust you if you don't love the people that He made that you can see? You're a hypocrite to say you love God and you hate your brother. It just doesn't work. Therewith bless we God, and therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. If you say you're saved, nobody should ever hear you curse. Amen. That's for lost people. Amen. There's enough of that out there in the world. It is so disgusting to go in public and hear the way that people talk. Yeah. That'll be ashamed of themselves. It's ridiculous. If you're saved, you got no excuse for talking like that. Now, cursing, obviously, it has a broader application than just swear words, but it definitely includes that. Yeah. You shouldn't come to church and sing God's praise and go to the job site and have a filthy mouth. Yeah. You shouldn't go out and pass out tracts and witness and tell people how much you love Jesus and then go tell a bunch of dirty jokes. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, the Bible says. But that which is good to the use of edifying. Verse number 11, doth the fountain send forth at the same place sweet water and bitter? Well, no, that's not how it works. Verse number 12, can the fig tree, my brother, bear olive berries, either a vine, fig? So can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh? What is the Lord getting to here? He's asking us to consider the source. He's asking us to consider the source. Because he said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. If there's a mouth that has blessing and cursing, the problem is the source. The problem is the heart. This is a heart matter that needs to be dealt with. This is a heart issue that needs to be dealt with. In fact, Mark James 3, let's read the passage in Luke chapter 6 quickly. Luke chapter 6, we'll turn a few places this evening. Luke chapter number 6. Verse number 43, the Bible says, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by his own fruit. For thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Now here's what we want to do. We want to take that passage, and it's not invalid. We want to take that passage, and we want to judge everybody else. Let's examine his fruit, and her fruit, and their fruit, and I can tell what's in their heart. But here would be something that would be beneficial for us to do. How about we examine our own fruit? How about we listen to our own selves? Do you ever hear yourself on a recording? Isn't that the worst? Do I really sound like that? You do. That's what you sound like to other people. I think sometimes it would be helpful for us, myself included, stop and listen to yourself. I don't think we often realize how it is that we sound when we speak. And what we say and what comes out, it reveals something about us. It reveals what's in the heart. And it'd be helpful for us to all stop and slow down, swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Let's examine that for a minute. Come back to James chapter 3. There's something I want to point out in these final verses in the passage, and then we'll run a few more references on it. James chapter number 3 in verse number 13, the Bible says, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show. He's not asking the question so you can raise your hand. Yeah, that's me. No, setting it up. Rhetorical question. Who's a wise man and endued with knowledge? Well, here's how you can demonstrate that. Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. Yeah. wisdom is not something you can't just self-identify as wise. You're not wise because you said you are. Right? If you are wise, it will show. And it'll show in your conversation. And biblically, this is more than just what you say. It's the entirety of your lifestyle. And the verse says, your works. But certainly it includes what you say. Are you wise? Well, then show it. Show it with how you speak. Show it with what you say. Verse number 14. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. Don't be proud of yourself that nobody can get along with you. That doesn't prove how spiritual you are. It actually proves quite the opposite. Verse number 15, this wisdom descendeth not from above. This wisdom, the wisdom of the world, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now here's what I wanted to show you. Verse number 13, who is a wise man? Right? Verse number 15, this wisdom. Verse number 17, but the wisdom that is from above. So what is the context in James chapter 3? Obviously, we're talking about the tongue, the sins of the tongue, the proper use of the tongue, the improper use of the tongue, and the Holy Spirit is going to finish this by discussing wisdom. And there is an inescapable connection both here and throughout Scripture between wisdom and one's manner of speaking. The words that one uses, what one says, how he says it. When you think of a wise person, what do you think of? When you think of a sage, someone who says things that are powerful, that make you stop and think, and that open doors of understanding, right? Somebody who's speaking in proverbs or making profound statements. A wise man is often known as wise based on what he has to say. So in these verses 13 through 18, we have this contrast. We keep going back and forth between wisdom on the one hand, that's verse number 13, strife and envy on the other hand, verse 14. And that's a wisdom that's of the world. And then in verse number 15, we've got a wisdom. 17, a wisdom from above. Verse 16, we've got envy and strife against. We've got wisdom over here, envy and strife over there. And what the passage is highlighting for us is that, listen, wisdom is not the same as wittiness. What do I mean by that? Being wise is not the same as being witty. Now, being witty is fun if you can pull it off. I'm just way too slow. I think of the perfect thing that I ought to have said about 5 minutes later. Some people quick on their feet. Some people it just comes, right? And I'm not condemning that, but we're just drawing a contrast here. You can have the kind of wisdom that enables you to win an argument. Or you can have the kind of wisdom that enables you to help people. You can have the ability to say things that are smart and that are clever. You can be, my dad used to say, don't be a wise, and I forget which word he used, it's not the one that you're thinking, but you understand what I'm talking about? That's not the form of wisdom we need. It's not just being able to to lay a zinger. It's not just being able to prove our point. It's not just being able to get one over on the other person. It's not coming out on top when we're debating whatever the topic is. Wisdom, biblically, the kind of wisdom that comes out of our mouth ought to be the kind that helps people. It's not self-serving, it's others-serving. Wisdom is the ability to use your tongue to help somebody else. Wisdom is the ability to keep from using your tongue to hurt somebody else. Okay, it's not winning an argument. It's not strife and envy. It's set over against that. Do we see that in the passage? Let's go to the book of wisdom. Come with me to the book of Proverbs. We'll run some references here. Proverbs chapter 15, mark James 3 if you hadn't already left it. Proverbs 15 with a mark in James 3. Proverbs is a book of wisdom, is it not? The introductory statement, the purpose statement of the book in the first four verses is to impart wisdom to young men specifically. And I counted it up one time, and I found that one out of every six verses in the book of Proverbs says something about your mouth. Something about your speech. And so there's a strong connection here that we can't deny. Wisdom and speech. Wisdom and the tongue. And let's see what it means to be wise when it comes to speaking. Proverbs 15, verse number 1, a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Now, I had you hold James chapter 3. I just wanted to draw that contrast. Remember, envy, strife, wisdom. Slow to wrath, James 1. Wisdom, right? So a soft answer turn away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. Same contrast here. Verse number 2, the tongue of the wise useth knowledge aright, but the mouth of fools poureth out foolishness. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness therein is a breach in the spirit. So what is wisdom? We can define wisdom as the application of knowledge, the use of knowledge, using what you know to make right choices and right decisions. How does this wisdom relate to speech? Wisdom is using something. What is the right way to use knowledge? What is the right way to demonstrate wisdom with our words? James 3 gives us a whole host of other alternatives. Boasting, bragging on yourself, causing contention and strife and envy. But Proverbs gives us the other alternatives. Look at Proverbs chapter number 10. Proverbs 10, verse number 19. Proverbs 10, 19. We've read these verses previously. I'll just read this one, then we'll move on to the next section. In the multitude of words, there wanteth not sin, but he that refraineth his lips is wise. Sometimes the wisest thing to say is nothing. In an argument, sometimes the wisest thing to say is nothing. In a variety of situations, I'll repeat the same quotation. It's better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to open your mouth and remove all doubt. But there's a lot of wisdom in being slow to speak. But there is a time to speak, the Bible says. We can't just always say nothing. We can't miss out on opportunities to use this gift of speech to glorify God and to help other people. You can't witness without speaking. You can't just remaining silent all the time. That's not the way to be wise. You got to speak up in certain situations. But how can I do so and demonstrate wisdom. Proverbs chapter 12. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse number 17. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 17. He that speaketh truth showeth forth righteousness, but a false witness deceit. You know what never helps somebody to lie to them? Truth is always right. Verse number 18. There is that speaketh like the piercings of a sword, but the tongue of the wise is health. The tongue of the wise is health. I think this is really the very simple, basic crux of the matter. How can my speech be an evidence of wisdom? It's when knowledge and love combine and what I say is true and it's helpful. When the purpose of what I have to say to another individual is that individual's health. A wholesome tongue is a tree of life. When my words, they're not corrupt, they're not filthy, Ephesians 4, they are good to the use of edifying, Ephesians chapter 4. Wise words are words that are spoken for the purpose and intent of being a blessing to somebody else and helpful and edifying and building up this person that I'm speaking to. Now, doesn't mean I don't tell the truth. And sometimes the truth is not what people want to hear. But love cannot remain silent. Love is speaking for the benefit of that other individual. And so I'm not going to hold back on the truth, but I'm going to speak the truth in love. I'm going to tell the truth to help people. That's wisdom. Proverbs 29, verse number 11, Proverbs 29. And verse number 11 says, a fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Okay? This wise man, he had something to say, but he didn't have to spit it out right away. He gave it some time. He was patient. He was thoughtful. He wasn't hasty. It wasn't emotional. The Bible says in Proverbs 15, the heart of the wise studieth to answer. You don't always have to respond to that question right away. You don't have to always respond to that statement right away. It's good. It's wise to take your time and think it through and then say something that'll help the situation. Come to Ecclesiastes chapter 10. Ecclesiastes chapter 10. What characterizes wise speech? Knowledge and truth and love. Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse number 12. The Bible says, the words of a wise man's mouth are gracious. Gracious. The lips of a fool swallow up himself. Oh, okay. Am I demonstrating wisdom? Am I showing wisdom by the way that I speak? I don't know. Am I gracious? Jesus spoke as one having authority. Remember that? Not as the scribes. The people couldn't believe the authority with which he spoke. They said, never man spake like this man. In Luke 4, his words were with power. That same passage says they wondered at the gracious words which came out of his mouth. And those aren't mutually exclusive. You can have both of those in the same passage, in the same package. Authority and power and graciousness. And the Bible says if we're wise, then that's the way we'll speak. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. And verse number 11. Ecclesiastes 12, 11. The words of the wise are as goads. Now this is something we can get a little bit behind, maybe. More enthusiastically. Goads. That's something sharp. A goat is used to prod, to poke, to encourage movement and activity, right? It was a weapon of violence with one of David's mighty men. This sounds a little bit more fun than some of the other stuff. The words of the wiser is goats. I can. Now listen, what's the idea? I'm supposed to use my words to try to spurn movement. To try to, here's a better word for us, encourage some activity. We are commanded to assemble and not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why? Because we need to love one another and provoke one another to love and good works. Now, provoke had a different meaning and connotation in my house growing up. Provoke is what my sister and I became professionals at. But it was the wrong kind of provocation. This is different. When God told us He wanted us to provoke one another, He didn't want us to annoy one another. He wanted us to encourage one another, to prod one another, to use our words to goad. Hey, brother, let's go stand up on the street corner. Let's go pass some tracts. Let's go spend some time in prayer. Let's use our words to encourage activity that's the right kind. Words the wiser is goads. And as nails fastened by the masters of assemblies which are given from one shepherd. Man, some people just have an ability to say something in such a way as to make it stick. Right? That's what a nail is supposed to do. To keep that thing in place. And when we use wisdom in our speech, then our words have a lot better chance at being remembered and being useful and making an impact, and the truth might just stick when the truth we speak is spoken wisely. Two more verses. Come to Proverbs chapter 31. Proverbs 31. So with the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to bridle the tongue. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we need to demonstrate wisdom in our speech. Truth and love and grace and encouragement. And James 3 said it's real important in the church. Because it's real easy for the flesh to lead into strife and envy. And it's just like a little spark that soon it gets out of control. And that can happen in your church, but it's not the only place that it's important. Look at Proverbs 31, verse number 26. We're talking about the virtuous woman. Who can find the virtuous woman? I can find a virtuous woman. Praise the Lord, I did. I'm thankful for it. Verse 26, she openeth her mouth with wisdom. And in her tongue is the law of kindness. We're talking about the home, right? And the family, and piety at home, and true religion. And you know what's really important where we practice wisdom in what we say and how we say it? With the people we spend all of our time with. Like, we come here a few hours a week, and we can kind of gear ourselves up and pray up and put on nice clothes. And usually, I've only heard people cuss at church a couple times. Probably more like three or four. But usually we can bridle it here. You know what makes this woman in Proverbs 31 so valuable? It's not just when she's at church. In her tongue is the law of kindness. She speaks with wisdom. Here's somewhere else it's important to have wisdom when we speak. Come to Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11. Proverbs 11, verse number 30, the Bible says, the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. Wisdom connected with soul winning, witnessing, winning others to Christ. You know you have to speak in order to do that. You can't preach the gospel without using words. there's a message that we have to declare to the world, how that Christ died for our sins, was buried, and rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. But it's important that we do so wisely. Wise as serpents, harmless as doves. We want to be faithful. We want to be zealous. We want to be bold, but we want to be effective. And he that winneth souls is going to have to be wise. All right, so let's just take a moment this evening. Examine our speech. What we say, how we say it. Is it a demonstration? Does it show any wisdom? Does it show any wisdom? Lord, help us. Father, thank you for your word this evening, the opportunity that we've had to study it together. Lord, I pray that you help us to take a look in the mirror and you would show us ourselves and the areas where we need to grow and improve. And God, help us with that. Help us, Lord, to be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven us. Lord, help us to have good relationships here in the church house. Help us to have good relationships at home. Helps to represent you faithfully in the world. And God, we love you and we'll thank you in Jesus' name.